Possibilities.
Collaborative.
Collaboration.
Positive and optimistic.
Expanding.
Pure light. Welcome to Elevating Stories, Activating Change, Regenerative Voices podcast with At the Epicenter. I'm the host, Celine Diaris, and today we're speaking with Edouard Roulet, co-founder of Alter Eco. I so appreciate your time today, Edouard, and I'm excited to talk to Alter Eco, to you about Alter Eco's genesis and the aspiration of full circle business, full circle farming, and full circle eating. And I was curious if you would explain, what does this idea of full circle mean to Alter Eco in terms of how it's been pursuing its business since it started?
Great. Hi, Celine. Thanks for having me here. And thanks for all the great work that you do with at the Epicenter, including the conference, annual conference, Regenerative Earth Summit, which, you know, was excellent last year.
So
thanks a lot. So, I mean, the idea of full circle is you know, you can oppose it to, of course, the idea of being extractive, but it's the idea that you can, you know, sustain a system, whether it's farming or whether it's eating or consuming, on the very long term, and you know, hopefully in the, you know, infinitely. And so that's for us. Again, I want to make sure you understand it's an aspiration. It's a guiding principle that, you know, we keep in mind when we look at situations or where we look at goals or try to create a roadmap for the future. You know, how, what can we do, or what are we doing, or what can we do better that creates this virtuous self-sustaining system of a full circle.
So obviously guiding principles are really important. And as a mission-driven company, that's something that I think distinguishes companies from one another, whether they've really set forth a high aspirational, a high bar as to what they're striving to achieve. And I appreciate your point that it doesn't mean we've arrived, but we've been employing this consideration in the decision-making that we have expressed in the work that we've done so far. And it doesn't mean that you can hit those points in every decision, but the fact that it's part of the decision-making process is unique and sets Alter Eco apart from a lot of other companies that are making food in the United States and the world. Yeah. So when we think about eating, what is full circle eating? I'm curious.
Full circle eating is, I mean, for us, it starts by using ingredients that we, you know, that are known to be whole, you know, delicious ingredients and pure ingredients. So this is our bestseller. That's a super blackout bar. And so if you look at, you know, it's very easy. You look at the ingredient list, and there's really, you know, there's three ingredients, really two main ingredients. One is the cacao, so cacao butter and cacao mass or cacao liquor, unrefined, raw, organic sugar, and then some hints of vanilla with vanilla beans. Mm. So, you know, it's very simple ingredients. And I think that's important, not just, I mean, from a full circle aspect, we'll talk about it, but from a consumer aspect, from somebody who wants to eat chocolate, because when you only have three ingredients, when the ingredients, what you want to eat, you want to eat chocolate. Chocolate is cacao with some sugar or not. That's what you want to eat. That's what you're looking for. And so with only two or three ingredients, we can't really cheat. And the taste you're going to have in the final product comes from the taste of the original crop, right? The source, the origin, the quality of the beans that I use, how clean are those ingredients? It comes directly to you, to the taste profile, because again, minimally processed and no other additional ingredients. And so just for me as a consumer, looking for simple ingredient list with, you know, name that I, you know, name of ingredient that I can pronounce, and no additive or things that I don't understand what they do in those in this product, is major, and not just again for my health, but just because I like good food. And for me, that's a testimony or a test or a validation that the ingredients and the final products I'm eating is a clean, good product, high, good tasting product. So, you know, look at our chocolate and other chocolate, for instance, you won't find any emulsifier, you won't find any sugar substitute, you won't find any bleached sugar or white sugar. You won't find ingredients that are known to be, you know, negatively impactful for the planet. So, for instance, this is also that we launched yesterday. Mm. This is our super dark chocolate truffle. It's a real innovation because it's plant-based vegan. So there is a ganache inside, but most, you know, 99.9% of truffles, ganache and the other ones we sell as well, are made with dairy or milk ingredients. And that's what gives this really creamy ganache inside. Right. For those super dark truffle, we were able to do that without dairy, to make creamy ganache without cream, without milk. So super proud of that. We launched it yesterday. But I bring that up because truffles, including the main brand of reference that's been around for decades, that's non-fair trade, non-organic, and that's been doing those balls, those truffles that you find in conventional supermarket mostly, they use a lot of palm oil. And we know palm oil is having, you know, disaster for countries, you know, like Indonesia, places like Sumatra, Java, etc. So we replaced it by coconut oil from a great co-op group in Kerala, in the south of India, and that's we get better tasting product with that. We get, you know, better health benefit from coconut oil, and then we get an ingredient that's also positively impacting the ecosystem rather than being a disaster for the local species. So this is what we call by full circle eating. It's self-sustainable for the people who eat it, but also for the nature and the environment. So that's part of it. I would say the two other important aspects that we believe in full circle eating is one, the consumption, the pure consumption aspect, and the big elephant in the room, as we know, is food waste. With, you know, 60% of food going being wasted in the US, and even though it could be counterproductive for a person who's in the consumer good business and trying to sell as many products as possible, we also want to make sure we take a stand, you know, in the form of advocacy or educating our consumers that you only need to buy what you need. And we don't want to be one of those products that end up in the dump or that are not being consumed, because that's a big part of not being sustainable, and not, you know, that kind of the full circle becomes a leaking downward spiral where, you know, the impact, we all know the impact that has on the environment, on carbon emission, on so many aspects, on inequality between the north and the south. And so I would say reasonable consumption and limiting food waste is something we believe in. And the third one is how you purchase the food you're going to eat, right? So, of course, we are always promoting eating local whenever possible, you know, buying from the local market whenever possible. And for other products, again, they don't grow cacao in California, or coconut oil or any of that, or even, you know, raw and refined cane sugar. And so that's, you know, when the ingredient is not available locally, then, you know, buy it fair trade from small-scale farming communities, small-scale farmers, because we really believe in that those producers, those farmers are the future. And so that's how to support them.
Absolutely. And so that's a perfect segue to talking about full circle farming. Agriculture is a huge impact on our planet, and a lot of land is in cultivation, and we hear stories about the loss of topsoil. We know that there is a lot of dead soil in cropping that has been used with intensive chemical application. So you all are a certified USDA organic product. This is another really yummy version of chocolate. But you're also doing work with small producers in other parts of the world. So I'd be interested to hear a little bit about what you've been learning over the years that you've had Alter Eco, and what some of the relationships are like that you have with producers, and how things have changed over time in terms of their productivity, the health and well-being of where they're located, that you can attribute to how you're bringing this more full circle thinking to those relationships.
Sure. So, I mean, when you think about, you know, farming, and same thing as with the taste and the product that, you know, again, when you eat product that are minimally processed and was just the ingredient you're supposed to have, we didn't reinvent the wheel, right? It's, you know, how things used to be for many, 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 many years. It's only been changed, you know, recently in the past, you know, 60 years or so, but or more. But in terms of farming, same thing. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. And when you think about circular farming, you just look at, you know, what's one of the, you know, most circular thing around us, and it's definitely nature. And so trying to replicate and stay as close as the cycle of nature is just, you know, again, at the base of full circle farming. So, you know, it started, I would say, you know, 30 years or more ago with organic and organic agriculture. Then it moved on to be biodynamic, which is, again, very, you know, mimics the cycle and the circle of nature. And so now regeneration and regenerative organic is really the next frontier. We are proud to be part of that. And for us, for Alter Eco and for the type of crop and activity we have, the focus is really on soil health. And making sure that we don't deplete the soil, that we regenerate and revive the soil that have often been degraded over the years. When you think about the impact that you know, the soil degradation has had over the last 40 years, it's incredible, and you read it in the news every day without even knowing that it comes from agricultural soil degradation. Thinking about the flood in India, in Kerala, next to the communities where we buy our coconut oil last year, where again the development, deforestation, etc., has, you know, prevents now the soil from holding those large quantities of water. We had the same when we had huge floods in Thailand about 8 years ago, where now, you know, when there's big rain, monsoon, the soil is not able to kind of hold the water, and that, you know, that you know, literally kills people and has a, you know, huge economic impact. So we feel that it's our responsibility being in the, you know, in the agricultural space and working with farmers and being, you know, responsible for a lot of land being cultivated, that we have to find a way to regenerate those soil. And there are ways to regenerate those soils. And the farmers we work with are implementing those methods. It's mostly around moving from, you know, the traditional linear cash crops, which is linear, unidirectional, and extractive, and working with farmers so that the methodology and the practices are, you know, self-sufficient and regenerative. And so that includes for us implementing multi-crop systems. So when you have a cacao tree or other crop, you layer that with, you know, mangoes, sustainable agroforestry, etc. And so the immediate impact is soil regeneration and additional nutrients, and most importantly, carbon sequestration. And so that's been implemented again in Kerala, in India, where in the south of India. That's been implemented in Ecuador, where we have a large program of dynamic agroforestry. that's managed by the local farmers who, again, know their land and nature better than us, of course, and by local NGOs who are also providing additional training to farmers. And then another kind of flagship pilot, more than pilot now, but our flagship regenerative full circle farming has been with a program called Pure Projet.
So tell us a little bit about Pure Projet. That is a program that was initiated by folks involved with Alter Eco, is
yes.
that correct?
Yes, so it was initiated in 2007, 2008 by Tristan Lecomte, who was the founder of Alter Eco in France. And the story, I think, illustrates really well almost a case study that's been replicated since. But you know the multiple benefit when you start switching from linear cash crop to a full circle farming, and so in that's the story of this co-op. It's in Northeast Peru in the San Martin region, and there's no roads to go to them. Only a big large river called the Huayabamba. And those farmers up to the 90s were coca farmers for the drug, working with a Shining Path, under the Shining Path, so terrorist organization, pretty horrible lifestyle. Wow. And then the UN came in to help them transition from coca to cacao. And the farmers, again, very in tune with nature, and said, you know, again, we want to do cacao, but we want to do organic cacao. So they, learn organic techniques, and then we're looking for international markets and buyers. Alter Eco came in and said, okay, we'll buy your organic cacao. It's delicious. We'll buy it on fair trade terms. And so that's how we started this relationship and having Peruvian cacao in our chocolate bars. And one of the things that happened during the cultivation of the coca is and that's often the case with small scale farmers in South America especially is and other place, parts of the world is deforestation. And so we kept seeing all those deforested parcels and areas where those farmers were living and cultivating. And so the idea was to say, okay, so we're a consumer good business, we sell a lot of products, we move products around the world. First, let's try to move, to reduce our emission and consume less and find ways to optimize and reduce emissions. But, instead of offsetting the emission to be carbon neutral, why don't we work with our farmers in our own supply chain to offset those emissions that we call insetting, and have the farmers in Peru replant trees and reforest so that we can, inset our mission that way. And the program has been extremely successful. The benefits, we counted over 100 of them, but you have, of course, the additional revenue that you have for the, so of course, the carbon mitigation and the fact that, we're becoming carbon neutral that way. But also the additional revenue from the farmers that are being paid to plant those trees and maintain them for 30 years. The additional revenue they get from mango trees and an additional crop that they're able to cultivate, either for themselves or for the local markets. The protection it provides for local species, but also for, as we said before, flood and the soil being able to hold the water better. Building communities, maintaining nurseries, and one of the biggest benefits that we found from studies that we conducted there is that when you go from just an empty field with dozens of cacao trees to a field that has multi-crop and shade, etc., that you're able to increase the yield of the cacao trees themselves. Two and three times in that specific area. And so, again, you see the benefit, immediate benefit without any chemical fertilizer or anything, just by implementing those techniques of actually having so much value add on the original activity, which is cacao cultivation.
An interesting thing that you just said, Edward, that I'd like to just focus on a little more is the productivity of the cacao plant itself being positively impacted by diversifying what's being planted. And I think if we think about how natural systems are, it's never a monoculture, it's diversity. And it's that diversity that creates vibrancy and life and the exchange of all the nutrients that are needed for a host of different species to coexist, both in the plant world as well as the animal and insect space. So can you say a little bit more about how what you all have observed has demonstrated the power and truth of that?
You mean in terms of additional species or?
Well, that just, you know, your point about the productivity of the cacao plants being increased because of having companion planting and other, that's what I'm curious to, if you'll say a little bit more.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we've worked with universities and local universities to actually measure. That's really part, that's an additional layer of those programs, is that some of those programs are sometimes have a certification. For the carbon inset, for instance, and that has required a lot of research to actually prove that those systems are effective. And so that's been one of the big activities of Pure Projet. Just as a note, Pure Projet was started kind of as, you know, a pod for Alter Eco's, you know, carbon inset, and then the project became actually so successful, to answer your question, that it went beyond what we could quote unquote emit as, you know, as carbon offset. And so 10 years later, with several partners, you know, including Ben and Jerry's, another organization in that same area with those same farmers, there's over 2 million trees now, over 2 million trees that have been planted, not all by Alter Eco. But this shows you that, you know, it just took a life of its own, because then the farmers realize that, you know, the neighboring farmers has a better yield. So then they want to do the same. And so it becomes this, you know, full circle snowball effect.
inspirational as well as aspirational.
Yeah, it embarks communities and farmers. And another very important layer of this program is the ability, when we plant trees, so in that specific area, it's about 7 to 12 native and compatible trees that are being planted. Some of them are sustainably grown timber that the farmers can sell after 30 years and replant. You know, it's again sustainable agroforestry principles, and they call it their retirements. You know, so when they're done selling their cacao, they know they're gonna have this amount of money that comes from sustainably harvested timber. So again, you know, it goes, once you set up the model, I think, and you can replicate, then, you know, everybody goes on board, because as everything with sustainability, if you can prove a successful economic outcome, then everybody comes on board. So that's really the key, again, economic, you know, making sense economically of the system, and then everybody wants it.
The other thing about this that I think is very inspirational is, this is also a concept that could be applied in a lot of different ecosystems around the world, where you could do companion planting. So say, I think this is sort of the unsung hero aspect of some of the work that Alter Eco and others have been doing kind of quietly, but you're also setting forth replicable models that we could employ in a lot of parts where we know a lot of damage has been done.
Absolutely.
Quickly do restoration to draw carbon, to reduce the loss of soil, to increase nutrient density, and to improve the livelihoods of the people that are growing the food that we're eating, to make their lives better too, is an incredible outcome of all of this work you all have done.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about another interesting thing that you've shared with me about Alter Eco, knowing you have recently had the company transition to new ownership, but you've done so in a way that really is unique and protects the integrity of what Alter Eco has achieved and what its deep commitment is going forward into the future. Can you share a little bit about this unique success you've had in selling the business?
Yeah. I mean, this is something we've struggled for since we started Alter Eco, right? Which is, you know, as companies, again, companies that have a very strong, you know, that are mission driven and that have a very strong triple bottom line elements are making choices every day, again, taking into account profit, but also taking into account this, you know, full circle aspiration. And there's, so I'm going to talk mostly about our space, but it's replicable to other space. But in the food space, in the natural and in the food space in general, when a small company, for a small company to succeed, we need a fund, you know, to invest and develop new products, you know, develop distribution, invest in marketing, and that requires a decent amount of financing. And you know, as you grow, there's a point where you don't really have a choice, and either you raise more equity via a PE firm, a private equity firm, or you kind of, you know, hand over or sell your company to a larger food conglomerate. And it's been very clear since the beginning, and there's been a lot of, we've seen since then a lot of founders, friends who have sold their company in one of those two, because that's only two options out there. And I would say that I say 80% of the time, and as you know, as we see that for intrinsic reason, for the fact that, you know, if you're a private equity firm, you have LPs, you know, investors, and you need to turn your investment in 4 or 5 years. And then if you're a food conglomerate, you buy a smaller company to bring in innovation, but then, you know, you can't keep all the staff. And I mean, there's just, it's not that there's, you know, bad people. This is just the way the system is set. That right. If you're a mission-driven company and you have those two choices, because those are the only two choices, food conglomerate or PE firm that is more long-term, a small company that invests in the long-term, like Alter Eco and like what we've done with packaging, those two models are going to negatively impact the mission. That's just been proven over and over again. And so we struggled with that because there is a lot of people in the space that are trying to find solution and creating holding, and they're thinking about that, but there hasn't materialized yet to find a way to find a home. There's plenty of ideas, and we're following that closely. Plenty of ideas out there and people willing to find this new model, but it's not out there yet. And so what we found is, you know, we think for Alter Eco and for a mission-driven company, what we believe is the best solution, which is it's a fund, it's a private equity firm, but it's called an evergreen fund. And the biggest difference between a traditional PE firm and an evergreen fund is that an evergreen fund is set on 100 years. So. Mm. And so that means that they are not looking for us to make investment today that they're going to be able to, you know, increase sales really, really quick, whatever the cost, often, and then resell at a higher price, which is, you know, the basic behind a private equity firm. An evergreen fund and the fund that was acquired Alter Eco about a year and a half ago, Next World Evergreen, is looking at 100 years. So they're still looking at growing the company, you know, growing the revenue, expanding, but they're able to take a much longer term approach, which is key. You know, again, when you're mission driven, the key is to be able to have a long term vision. We can't be short term.
Well, that it's exciting to hear that this is coming forward, because to your point, we both know a lot of our fellows in the industry that have not had necessarily the most optimal options for being able to be certain that their commitments would be maintained if their company was acquired. And I think particularly with companies that are creating such an impact on the ground in real time with real people, it's been what you've cared about. To be able to know that that will carry forward has to allow you to sleep really well at night.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much effort that, you know, sometimes you feel when you see so much effort being put into, you know, because they're also limited in resources in small companies and the impacts and reports they can have. It's true. It's often super disappointing when you see whether it could be as well the quality of the ingredient that's been stripped out. That's what consumers notice first. They're like, oh, I used to love this brand. Now, why is it? And often it's right. For cost reasons. So, you know, it's sustainability. But as we said, with full circle eating, you can feel it directly with the ingredient and the taste. So that's.
I'm glad that you brought that up again, because I think one of the things that we were saying early on is like with products that have a few ingredients, the quality of those ingredients is so foundational to the taste. Yes. And so maintaining that basis point where you're sourcing with care and that care continues, that's something that, you know, I as an eater, that's what I'm really looking for. That's what I value. And that as Alter Eco has changed ownership, those practices have not been lost. So I continue to be a happy consumer of the Alter Eco brand. So thank you for making that stay intact. That's appreciated. So I want to just remind everyone that they're listening to Regenerative Voices, Elevating Stories, Activating Change with At the Epicenter. I'm Celine Diaris, the host and founder of At the Epicenter, and I'm speaking with Edouard Brulé, co-founder of Alter Eco. As we round out our time together today, just share a little bit about what's next for you on the other side of, you've been doing so much incredible impact in your career. What's next?
More impact.
Of course, I would hope so.
How to go back once you start, digging in and learning about, you know, what's happening. But I think, I mean, for us, Matthew as well, the other co-founder, the priority right now, and you know, it shouldn't come out of the blue, it's really climate, and you know, it should be, and it is, you know, it is top of mind for many people, but it seems, you know, people don't know where to start and what to do, and so you know, trying to go full throttle on climate is really the priority, and so we're setting up a platform now, and the idea, the issues that we've seen is that a lot of climate solutions, you know, in part because of the agreement and the way it's been set and the compliance market, a lot of climate solutions have been geared toward larger companies. And while a lot of, you know, like Alter Eco, we were lucky to do it because we had our own programs and at the time, you know, the vision and resources to do this insetting program. But a lot of other small and medium companies really don't have access to those climate solutions. And so our idea, because again, we all, you know, all the co-founders of Alter Eco have or, you know, either set up or worked with NGOs and development in, you know, the poorest countries of the world before. We want to go back to the original idea that you have from the United Nations and what's called the Clean Development Mechanism, CDM, behind carbon offset, which is first priority reduce emission. We all agree on that and all want to invest in that. But for the residual, the carbon offset or the generation and the sale of carbon offset should benefit the poorest and the weakest in the world. And one of the obvious reasons, which I don't know if it was as obvious when they created this mechanism, is that climate change, as we all know now, is first and foremost impacting the weakest and the poorest. The poorest areas and the poorest people in the poorest region. So you have this genius idea of saying, okay, how can we actually, you know, use those carbon offsets that are purchased by you know, companies or individual and really re-equilibrate a bit this, you know, and in the context of climate change. And so we've created a platform called Climate Plus, and that's really focused on selling and marketing carbon offset and sourcing projects that are benefiting the poorest and then marketing the carbon offset that are benefiting those communities.
So you're bridging, it sounds like. You're bridging between where you can generate sort of what you achieve with Pure, where we've got these communities really benefiting from these more holistic approaches to their farming and maintaining the health of their natural ecosystem around them, and then creating the opportunity for businesses to be supporting that by being able to buy the carbon offsets.
That's right. Starting with the poorest communities, and that's something we did work with a few cooperatives in Africa with Alterico, but we are mostly focused in Asia and South America. And so the project that we are sourcing now for Climate Plus are in some of the poorest countries of Africa. So there is in Ghana and in Kenya a clean cook stove projects, for instance, where people don't know that, but the issue of cooking, you know, in those little huts is actually responsible. There's more people dying from this smoke than malaria and tuberculosis combined in the world.
Wow.
So
no, we don't know that.
So you know, being able to distribute those clean cook stoves is essential to the health. Again, always, you know, we always start with the livelihood and the health and the well-being of people and animals, and so, you know, living being in general. And so direct impact on the health of people, direct impact on climate change, because the efficiency, you know, they're like anywhere between 40 to 70 times more efficient than the stove that they would use. Wow. And so that creates a real impact that you finance via carbon offset that are, you know, companies in the US or elsewhere have access to. Another project is in Sierra Leone, also, you know, a lot of, you know, war and devastation there. And so there's a Red Plus project, which is a conservation and a rainforest preservation in that beautiful area of Sierra Leone. And so the carbon marketing of carbon offset is completely reinvigorating the economy. Yes, 200 people on the payroll, from rangers to teachers, for schools, etc. And so again, really reinvigorating those areas in Sierra Leone is another of the project we work on. So it's just a bit like with Alterico. When we started Alterico, we kind of used food to kind of improve livelihood and catalyze development in the poorest area of the world. And now we're going into carbon offset to have a direct impact to the poorest areas. So that's really exciting as well. The projects
that is. I'm grateful to you for the vision you continue to carry and the care that you're bringing to how you're in service with your life. It's very inspirational. And I want to just re-mention the Regenerative Earth Summit, because you spoke there last year. I would really love to have you back. You know, we're bringing leaders from the food and fashion and beauty care industries to actually look at how we source the ingredients for those different products that we are using, from how we clothe ourselves, how we feed ourselves, how we sustain the health of our bodies. Those all have direct impacts on the planet, and they can be done in the way that we've been talking about in this program, with a lot of mindfulness to place and people and life, and not be a disruption, but be a regenerative force. And the opportunity and the crisis in front of us on the planet provides hopefully some motivation for us to up our game and to work harder together. So the Regenerative Earth Summit will be live streamed, so the public can tune in to the content. And so I just hope to have you be a part of it again. Thank and bring
great gathering. Excellent.
Your work.
And amazing. Again, when you, again, there's an issue, there's a major problem, but when you see, and you know, from the summit, a number of innovative solutions that people come up with, and it's mind blowing. It's like, it's really, it's great. It's really, really inspiring.
It gives us hope, you know? And I think we need a lot of hope, but we also need focus and direction that's delivering well-being across the spectrum. And this is where you and I and many others share that intent and are committed to helping make these things happen in a more accelerative phase. We need it.
Yep.
So I want to thank you, Edouard, Edouard Roulet, the co-founder of Alter Eco, for joining me today in this conversation with Regenerative Voices, Elevating Stories, Activating Change podcast. I look forward to more opportunities to speak with you. And again, thank you for everything that you're doing.
Likewise. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Celine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Regenerative Voices, Elevating Stories, Activating Change podcast series is produced by At the Epicenter, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The podcast and video recordings are made possible by the generous support of people like you. Make a tax-deductible donation or sign up as a monthly supporter by visiting attheepicenter.com/donate. Support packages start at $1 per month. The podcast series is also sponsored by several corporate and organization sponsors. To become a podcast sponsor, visit attheepicenter.com/contact to let us know of your interest. If you found this podcast episode insightful and meaningful, please pass it on by sharing it with a friend or colleague who will also enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in, for your support, and for activating change.